Comic Talk today for Wednesday, December 26, 2018. I hope everyone had a good Christmas yesterday. If you celebrate, if you don't, you know, you don't. That's fine. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. But I hope at least you had a great day off from work or school or whatever other crap you need to put on every day. And welcome back to reality, because Christmas is over, so time to get back to work, folks. Today I wanted to spend a little time with a rant. I'm going to be doing a rant today. And the rant is about comic book pricing. And I've done one of these before, but I wanted to re-tackle it because I had an interaction with someone a couple days ago, and it kind of irked me, so I wanted to get some thoughts out and see what you guys thought about it. Because, you know, everyone comes from different walks of life, we'll say. Some people have obviously more income that they can use to purchase comic books. Some people have less, and so they're bound to try to get the best price per page, PPP, price per page, that they can on a comic book. And that's totally understandable. Especially now, you know, with the holidays, a lot of people are spending a ton of money on kids, their spouses, other family members. And, you know, it can get a little tight with comic books. Comic books are not cheap. They're definitely much more expensive than they used to be. When I started reading comic books, they were, man, I don't even remember anymore. I want to say like $1.50 a comic. It might have been a little less, like $1.25, but it was somewhere around that range, between $1 and $1.50. And really, at the time that I started reading comics is when comic book pricing started really getting a little bit higher. I remember when Valiant launched, all their books were much higher. This is the original Valiant in 90, whatever year it was, 91, 92. They were putting out their books for, you know, $2.25, $2.50. You had special chromium covers at like $2.95, $3.50. And once that model started being popular for them, for many reasons, I don't want to go into that. Some of it has to do with Wizard Magazine, for those of you that remember that. Some of it has to do with the speculator market, for those of you that remember that. I mean, I guess it's still kind of a speculator market. But it got a little rough after a while, you know, because a lot of folks were coming in, indie folks coming in and putting out books that were doing extremely well, but their books were also expensive. I'm trying to think of books like, you know, like Lady Death, for example. Those were like $3.50 a comic. And many of you may not know what Lady Death is. There are still Lady Death comics coming out. But, you know, back in the day, that was big. It was huge in the early 90s. You had stuff like Lady Death, Evil Ernie, and a whole wave of like bad girl comics, right? Like Shy and a few other ones. And I thought they were fantastic, and I've reread some of those, and some of those are still really great. In fact, Shy is still, I think, really, really well done, even for the real book. But that's when comics started really getting higher and higher. Then we had some distributor wars, those of you that may remember that. You know, if you're like younger than 25, man, I'm telling you, you missed a lot of stuff in comics because the early 90s to mid 90s era of comics was extremely interesting in the way that the market changed. But you know, then you know, books started coming out much higher. I think the average comic book price by then went up to like $1.95 to $2.25, and it was getting a little bit harder. And you know, people complained because people are always bound to complain. And now we'll fast forward, I guess, to now, to 2018. In which the majority of comics are $3.99. And I get that it's a tough sell for everybody. So I'm going to go into this rant about pricing, but I want you all to understand that even when I talk about people complaining about comic book pricing, it's not a personal attack to anyone in particular. Every time I do one of these rants, I try to do it where I can get some information out to try to clarify some things about how comics works. And obviously, I'm not a comic book insider, right? I'm not a creator. I'm not a publisher. I'm just, like I like to say, a dude behind the microphone. And, but I do pay close attention to these things because I do buy a lot of comics. Way too many comics, in fact. If that's a thing. I know some people are thinking to themselves, that's not a thing. You can never have enough comics. And, you're right. I do agree with that. You can't have enough comics. But you know, sometimes you gotta think about the amount of time you have to read comics, the amount of time it takes to bring back comics. That's part of the reason why I've gone mostly digital, and I have zero problem spending full price on a digital comic. In fact, I do it on a weekly basis. I would say, I don't know, 80 to 90% of my pull list is done digitally right now. And the reason for that is just simplicity. All I need to do is click on a subscribe button, and then Wednesday morning comes around and my comic books are in my inbox. I get my email from Comixology, hey, here's your books for today. And I go in there and there's a plethora of stuff that I can read. And I enjoy doing that. It's kind of become like a natural extension of what I did before. Before I went mostly digital, I was doing DCBS, which if you really love comics, that is possibly one of the best ways to get comic books. Only thing is you have to be prepared, right? Because when you're doing DCBS, you have to order your comic books in advance, 2 to 3 months in advance. And so you have to pay attention to what's coming out, what's not coming out. And, you know, I mean, I guess if you miss a comic, you can always go to your comic shop the day that the book's released and pick up a physical copy there, or new Comixology as well. But DCBS is still a fantastic way. A lot of times if you're doing bundles, you'll get 50, 60% off of comics. So, I mean, really, if you have 20 bucks to spend on comics, that's 5 comics, we'll say. Now you have technically $40 to spend on comics, right? So you can get 10 comics instead of 5 for the same exact price. Only thing is, again, you have to be patient. You have to wait until DCBS sends your box out, which will take a few months because you're ordering from previews, basically. You're ordering way in advance. And that's part of the reason they can give such great pricing, is that they have a guaranteed set of orders that they can bring in, and so they can sell a little bit cheaper, right? I mean, you gotta remember, comic book stores do not pay full price for a comic. The price paid for a comic really varies on the publisher, on the type of book, on the paper stock, things like that. But you know, usually on average between, 80 cents to $1.50 usually is what comic stores pay for a comic book. And that's actually very reasonable. You know, if you're starting to think to yourself, well, why are they charging me $4 if they're spending $1.50? There's still a very good reason for that. If you've never worked retail, obviously you don't know how any of this works. But whenever you go up a step in the manufacturing process, you're basically doubling the price of that item. So let's say you go to, what's a store that I hate? Let's just talk about Walmart. Sorry, people that work at Walmart. My brother works at Walmart, so it's not a dig at Walmart employees. But if you go to Walmart and you buy a, what would you buy? I don't know. Say you go and you buy a bag of rice. Okay, you're paying $2 for a bag of rice, whatever that is. Walmart's obviously not paying $2 for a bag of rice, right? Because they need to pay people to put this rice on the shelf. They need to pay the power company for the electricity. They need to pay people to clean the store. They need to pay cashiers to wring out your rice. So, of course, there's an added expense, and so they have to charge more. You gotta remember, everything's a business, right? Nothing is made for free. Actually, that's not true. There are things that are made for free. It's called open source software, for example. But there's still an incurred cost behind that, right? Just because somebody gives something out for free does not mean that making that thing is free. Okay? Just like this podcast comes out for free, doesn't mean that it's free. I spend 1 hour, 2 hours a day on these podcasts. Sometimes more, sometimes less. And that time is worth something to me. It might not be worth something to you because it's not your time, but it is something to me. Comic shops work the same way. You know, if they're paying $1.50 for a book, they need to also pay for their employees to be there, to have a store for you to go and, you know, get these books from. You have to pay electricity and water and whatever other bills that they have as well. But still, DCBS is a fantastic deal. So I recommend you do it. They do have a storefront that's a separate company. I don't know. They might have brought it back into the same company. But it used to be a separate company, and the mail order service was separate. But, you know, they still have a warehouse that they have to have these books in. They have to shop you, charge you for shipping, which I guess that's extra. But still, it's peanuts. You know, you're paying $6.95 or whatever it is for shipping. A lot of times, that's not exactly the amount of books you have in there, right? Like, if you have a box with 3 books and you're paying $6.95, and then I order a box with 50 books in it, and I pay $6.95, obviously, the cost doesn't really make sense. But overall, it averages out. So pricing is always kind of a big topic, right? And I understand that. I understand that when people don't have the money to purchase a lot of books, that's totally understandable. That's when you have to learn to figure out what comics are worth you picking up, which comics are not worth you picking up, and when you should cut your losses, when you should just not pick books up. And I think at that point is when you should start to realize, well, why am I complaining about comic book pricing if I'm not really buying any comic books? And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because it doesn't make much sense to me. If you are a person like myself that purchases roughly 80 to 100 books a month, and I know some of you listening purchase many more than that, the majority purchase many less than that. But if you are that kind of person, then obviously you have some additional income that you are willing and able to spend on a medium that you really, really enjoy. And I love comics. Love comics. It is by far my favorite medium of entertainment. And there are many reasons for that, but really, it comes down to a couple that really, really make sense to me. One is it's one of the few things where I can kind of get away from everything else and just spend time on my own. So usually when I read my comics, I'll go into my office and I'll hang out in front of my computer. Or I'll sit at my desk and read physical copies of comics. And it's just me and my books and nothing else. And nothing else matters. And when I have my comic book time, my wife and my kids know, that's my comic book time. Don't bother me on my comic book time. I mean, you know, if there's an emergency, yeah, that's fine. But chances of an emergency are very slim. So if it's my comic book time, you leave Martin alone. He's going to enjoy his comics because I get so much enjoyment out of comics. And the thing is, you're not getting a lot of comic for most publishers, right? I mean, you're usually getting, what, 22 pages for a comic at $3.99. That comes out to roughly 18 cents of enjoyment per page. There, I did some quick math for you if you're not mathematically inclined. 18 cents per page is what the average comic is. Is 18 cents per page a good deal? I think so. I think it's a great deal. I think it's a fantastic deal. When you go to a convention and get, you know, a commission from somebody, chances are the cheapest commission you'll get is probably like $100, $150, depending on the artist, right? So if it's somebody that's newer or an indie artist or whatever, you may be able to get a commission for $150. If you're going to, let's say, get an original Alex Ross painting, you might be spending $5,000, $10,000 on that particular thing. But think about how much it costs to make a comic. I think that's important to realize, because I think sometimes we forget that the things that we buy, and not just comics, but everything in general, costs money to make. And we don't really care about that cost because we are not incurring the full cost of that thing. But it is important. It is important because by completely denying the amount of work and effort and time and money that it takes to create one of these comics, I'm going to cuss on this podcast right now, you're shitting on everybody that's working on that comic. I apologize if you have your kids listening, but I did give you a warning. A cuss warning. And that's not really fair to those people. And you might think to yourself, I don't really care. I'm broke. All I have time for is, four or five comics. That's all the money I have for. I don't care what it costs them to make it. And that's really a terrible attitude to have. It's a terrible attitude to have because you were kind of denying yourself the fact that there are other people around you who are making these things. If you only have money to afford five comic books, then that's fine. Except the fact that you can only purchase five comic books. Because a lot of times when people start complaining about the pricing, it's not necessarily the pricing that they're mad at. It's the fact that they can't purchase 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 comic books a month or more. It's the fact that they want to purchase 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or more comic books a month, but they can't. And look, I get it. I've been there. I grew up where it was basically my parents and myself living in a one-bedroom apartment. My parents had a mattress for me that, you know, we slid under their bed at night and then, or, you know, out of the bed at night. And then in the morning, we'd slid my mattress back under the bed and it was just us in a one bedroom, right? And I'm talking about literally like a tiny, tiny thing, like a 12 by 12 room that had the bathroom to the side. But outside of that, it was one room, your bed, your TV, your kitchen, everything was in that same room. And so I get it. But I've worked very hard to try to have more than what I grew up with. And I think my dad is proud of me for that. And if my mom were still around, I think she'd be proud of me for that. Because the house that I live in now is probably 15 to 20 times the size of that. And I work very hard for everything that I have. And I get that everyone else's situation is different. It's totally understandable. But try to make a better situation out of that. You can make a better situation if you... And again, I'm not picking on anyone with anything that I'm saying. But if you can't, you can't. And that's something that's important to realize. Not having the means is not an excuse to demean an entire market or an entire segment of the market or a population of writers and artists and inkers and letterers and editors and everybody else that works their ass off to create a comic book just because you think that $3.99 is a little too expensive. And kind of the reason that this whole thing came about was actually through Aftershock, and I think that's maybe one reason why it kind of rubbed me the wrong way when this happened. And this person maybe listened to this podcast. If not, maybe somebody that knows them will tell them about it and they might listen to the podcast. And again, this is not an attack to anyone in particular, but I think it leads to a really interesting conversation and I want some really good feedback on this. So if you're listening to this, I want to know your reading habits, how you know when too much is too much. When is enough enough? Okay, that's Mike's thing. When is enough enough? I want to know, when do you know when enough is enough? And how do you determine what books you can and cannot get? Because some things are expensive. Some things are very expensive. Very recently, Aftershock put out a an original graphic novel. Their first original graphic novel is written by Cullen Bunn. I thought it was freaking brilliant. It's called Witchhammer. And it really hit me in many places because not only is the writing extremely well done, not only is the art gorgeous, the presentation of the book is fantastic. I did buy that in print. I do get PDF copies from Aftershock, but I did buy that book in print. And the thing is, the book is 1995, and it's 65 pages. Now, really, you're thinking to yourself, that is a little expensive, Martin. That is a little expensive. And you know what? You may be right. You may be right. 1995 for 65 pages comes out to 30, almost 31 cents per page. And, that's almost double what we said before, right? If we're paying 18 cents a page for a comic book, a 22-page comic, that may be a little expensive. If we kept around the same pricing structure as a regular comic, then this trade really should have been about 12 bucks. Which still may be a little expensive, right? Because if you're at 65 pages, that's technically a 3-issue miniseries that you're putting into a trade. But there's other things to think about here. And some things that we almost never consider when we're looking at comics that we purchase. And that is the incurred cost of other people. You see a recurring theme here? This is kind of what we're talking about today. So at 18 cents per page times 65 pages, that would be $11.70. That's about, I would say, the average price of a trade. Actually, a little bit lower, right? Usually most trades are 4 issues, so you're paying whatever it is, $14.95 for the majority of trades. And I do know that Image does like $9.99 trades for some volumes. I know Valiant has done that. But I want you to go to a Barnes & Noble or go to your comic shop or wherever you get trades and look at the pricing for these things. And generally the pricing is going to be between $14.99 and $17.99 for a comic book trade containing anywhere between 4 and 6 issues. And sometimes more, right? Sometimes $19.99, right? If you go and get like a Vault Comics trade or a Black Mass trade, you might be paying $19.99 for a trade, a 4-issue trade. But there's a lot to decide on these pricing structures, right? Because there is a particular margin when you're trying to sell something at retail to other people that is kind of expected. And if you don't have that, then you might not be able to sell that kind of thing, right? And to go back to Walmart, Walmart is famous for doing this kind of thing. And I know Walmart maybe has nothing to do with comics aside from, the DC comics that you can buy there, the 100-page giants. But Walmart expects a certain margin, right? So if DC goes to Walmart and says, hey, we want to sell these 100-page giants at your store, they're $4.99 a book, they're 100 pages, great deal. Which, by the way, that is a great deal. Of course, that comes out to like almost 5 cents a page. Fantastic deal. But of course, Walmart has to look at certain things, like what is the market for comic book buyers at a Walmart? And it's obviously going to be much smaller. So, if they're going to be paying $5 to house these things, what else could they do in that section where they're putting these comics that might make them more money? And of course, they can just put pops there and sell them at $10, $15 a pop. And I don't know if you've ever seen a display case for one of these DC 100-page giant things, but you can probably put, let me do some math real quick. I would say at least 12, maybe 18 pops in the space that you can place a DC 100-page giant box. That's obviously a lot more money, right? I mean, I don't know how much Walmart's paying for a pop figure, how much any comic shop pays for a pop figure. But if we want to go with like the generic markup on things, they're probably paying $4 or $5 for one. Is that markup worth more to put the pop figures there, or is it worth more to put the 100-page giants there? And really, how much are the 100-page giants selling? So if you put, let's say, just we'll round up the number. We'll say 20 pops in the space that it takes to house a DC 100-page giant display. If you can put 20 pops in there, you can easily make $250, $300, let's say. With the markup, that might be, $150, $100 on the markup. Can they make that kind of markup on a DC 100-page giant? It's probably pretty close. And the only way that they would agree to house these things is if DC's saying, hey, you can get one of these for a dollar, $1.50. And DC may actually not be making any money on these things. They may be selling them at complete cost. And that seems to be probably pretty accurate, because why else would Walmart house these things in this spot when they can easily put something else that might sell more, like a pop figure? And that takes me back to this Aftershock original graphic novel. And Aftershock is maybe a little different than some other publishers. And I think with good reason. So Aftershock is one of those companies that I think prefers to sell to the physical market. They want their copies of books in stores. They do have, of course, books available in Comixology. That's how generally I get mine, the majority of them. But they're usually regular price. Very, very rarely do they have a sale. Usually when they do have a sale, it's maybe the first issue or the second issue of a book. I know Nick and I have talked about this on Nerdy Legion, for example, because I've always been very excited for Aftershock. I love Joe Pruitt as a person, the publisher of Aftershock. He's a fantastic person, a really down-to-earth guy, and extremely knowledgeable about comics. Extremely knowledgeable. He's been in comics for, God, probably years. And he's worked in comics on many different publishers, doing many different books. He knows what works, what doesn't work, and he is a guy that will be able to give you a good pricing structure that will make sense not for him, but for you as well. And so I get that many people would not want to try an Aftershock book at $3.99 on a digital comic. Because I'll give it to you. That may be a little expensive for a digital comic. I know plenty of folks, for example, my buddy Nick at the Nerdy Legion, that always wait for sales on Comixology. Because, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why spend $3.99 on a book when you can wait 3-6 months and get it for $1.99? You have your price per page much, much lower at that point. Of course that makes sense. But never do I see Nick arguing, ugh, I'm not going to pick up this Aftershock book because it's $3.99. I'm just going to wait on the sale when I can get it for $1.50, $1.99. But of course that accounts to his reading habits. He is generally a trade waiter. He has no problem waiting 6, 8, 9, 12 months to read a book. In fact, he and I are reading Age of Apocalypse right now, which he has never read. And that book is, I don't know, 25 years old? 30 years old? Brilliant book, by the way. I love the hell out of that thing. We're going to do a book club on the Age of Apocalypse. So I hope if you're listening to this, you'll go check that out because it's one of my favorite X-Men events of all time. So I hope you'll read along and maybe join the conversation when we do that, probably on the Nerd Legion podcast. But those are his habits, right? And he's really got nothing that he feels like he has to read on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis. You know, Nick loves Spider-Man, but he's not really picking up Spider-Man books currently. Very rarely does he pick up a current book, usually because I just talk about so much that he's like, ugh, I have to read this. And he does and loves it, but doesn't always continue with it, right? He might wait for the trade to come out. Plenty of other people do this. If you listen to, like, Geek Brunch Podcast, for example, Bill Bomer there, he always buys number one issues, and then buys nothing else until the trade comes out. And that's also a really smart way of doing it, right? Because you get a feel for what a book is like, and if you decide to get it, then you go for the cheaper option, and the cheaper option is always waiting for the trade. And so I'll agree, $19.99 is maybe a little too much for a 65-page book, but you know what? It's beautiful, and it's really well put together. It's an oversized hardcover. It's really nice to read. I know some other people are playing around with the oversized format. I've talked about Ahoy Comics quite a bit on the show. They do the magazine format on their books, and not only do they have a comic book in there as a comic book, but there's also prose and other things that really give you a value add for the price that you're paying, right? Because the comic is still only 22 pages, but you're getting much more than that with the additional back matter. And the back matter may not always be directly related to the particular issue of a story that you read, but it's still a value add, something that gives you an incentive to spend the extra money. And I think Ahoy does a really great job with their comics. There's been other publishers doing this kind of oversized thing, like Panel Syndicate. That's Brian K. Vaughan's... it's not necessarily a publisher. I don't know what you would call it, but it's his thing. All right, he's got Private Eye. Barrier came out recently. That's an oversized, and the format of that is really cool. It's roughly the same width of a comic, but it's about an inch or so taller. So you're meant to read these in widescreen as opposed to landscape, like we usually read our comics. And so the formatting is different. It's very cool. It's very innovative, and the stories are fantastic as well. The new publisher TKO that's coming out, their books are landscape, meant to be read in landscape, but they are the same format, right? So they're the same width, but about an inch taller. So you get slightly taller panels, you get a little more space for art, and I think it's cool, it's innovative, it's different. So you get a little more value add for roughly the same price of a comic. And I've talked about TKO a little bit, I'm going to do a follow-up on that. About their retail structure, because I found that to be interesting as well, the way that they want to push their books through retailers. And I haven't received my physical copies of the books that I ordered yet, but when I do, I'll also be talking about those as well, because they do look really nice. So yeah, $19.95 for 65 pages, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask, I get it. But maybe you're just not the market for these books, right? So why complain about the pricing of them? I mean, do you really want to read them if you're not a person that reads Aftershock? Seems to me like you maybe just complain to complain. And that's not really a, you know, I mean, it's probably social media today, but it doesn't really make the comic book industry better. It doesn't really lead to interesting discussions. It just leads to people getting pissed off because maybe you're one of those people that don't get it, that don't get to the level of work and time and effort put in by so many people to create these things, especially if those things maybe aren't necessarily made for you. Maybe that's something that we all need to be looking at when we're comics. Is something that I'm complaining about really worth me complaining about? Or am I just complaining to complain? If you're not the kind of person that reads beyond, say, Marvel and DC, why would you complain about the pricing structure or the Comixology sales of Aftershock? Why would you complain about the fact that your shop doesn't have TKO comics and you have to order them online? Why would you complain about any other number of things? I mean, I can complain about, I don't know, European comics because I can't get them all. I mean, I can get quite a few. There's various publishers that are putting out European books here in the U.S., but the majority of them, I can't get them. Unless I get them directly from, say, Amazon or maybe the publisher directly. In which case, I'm paying more because these books are not meant to be distributed here. So why would I complain about it? Think about what it is that you want out of your comic books. How much enjoyment do you truly get from a comic book? And is it worth you complaining about when the level of vitriol, I guess you could say, that comes out of you not enjoying a particular thing affects the level of enjoyment that you should be getting from one of the greatest mediums of entertainment, because it is a fantastic medium. Fantastic medium. It is one of the few mediums that can create extremely personal enjoyment. Think about things like movies or TV. Those aren't meant for you exclusively. Those are meant to be kind of more social experiences when you watch them and do whatever. You know, go to the movies to see them. Comics, not so much. And we as comic book fans have created communities based around these things because we want to see what other people think about them. But if you want to partake in these communities just in order to complain about the fact that you didn't like this or this particular costume was off, or, you know, why are they not teenagers? Why are they all grown-ups? Why are they not wearing their superhero costumes? Why are they in plain clothes? This character would never kill this person. Look, I get all that stuff. But when you start doing that kind of thing, ruining your own personal enjoyment of these mediums. And I don't think that's what comics are made to do. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm some dummy behind a microphone. Remember that. But I remember back in the day when I read my comics, I didn't have any friends that read comics. There were no forums online that I could go to. There was no Twitter or whatever else where I can see what other people are saying about a book. There was no Comic Book Roundup or CBR or Newsarama or anything else where I can get my news from any of these things. It's just me going to this little Korean coffee shop that just happened to have a crap ton of comics. And then I found my comic shop, and that changed things a little bit. But we didn't have any of that stuff, and now it's just so easy to get aggravated for no reason. And I think that really ruins their experience of comics. So sure, some comics are expensive, but maybe just those comics are not for you. Anyways, let me know what you think. I want to hear all your thoughts. Send me all your hate mail. Yell at comictalk.today. You can, of course, reach me on Twitter, at Geekvine. If you want to get angry publicly, I'm just not going to reply to you. If you want to get angry at me via email, by all means do so. But if you want to have a constructive conversation about this, Twitter will, of course, always be the best place. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to rate and review the show, okay? Unless you don't care to do that, in which tell another friend, especially if you're angry. Tell your friend how angry you are at the Comic Talk Today podcast, and they can go and listen and tell 10 other friends how angry they are at this podcast. But I'll catch you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you then.